The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
Welcome into the Lotus Place tonight. It is December the 9th, 2015, and we are airing from Baltimore, Maryland. So, Wednesday night, hump day in the city, and you know what? Chicago was on fire today. I don't know if anybody had an opportunity to see the people in the streets in Chicago, but Chi-Town came out in the thousands today. There was an organized mass walkout, and people walked out this morning. 16 shots and a cover-up. 16 shots and a cover-up was one of the rallying cries of the people, and just listening to them and seeing the pictures online and on Twitter, social media, I mean, just simply blowing up. I'm actually here in Baltimore with one of the organizers of the Chicago mass walkout, and so they were keeping me posted and showing me some of the pictures and the live stream today, and I just want to say, do it, Chicago. Keep on doing it. It's about time. People have decided to wake up and speak up and march, rally, whatever it is. Just get up. It's about, look, we've been waiting on you people. People like myself have been waiting for a long time for you guys to wake up and finally smell the coffee and see that we don't have to take this mess. Chicago has been crooked for a long time. It did not just get crooked last October when they shot down Laquan McDaniel and what's the other young man's name? Delta, you're the news person. What's the other little boy's name? His mom has been fighting to have
his video. I can't remember the other young man's name.
Oh, Delta, come on now, news lady. Come on now. You can't think of the other boy's name. Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord. What is the other young man's name? Oh, God. The other young boy, I think his name is it Antoine? Let me see. I can't think of his name. I'll try to get his name also. But his mom was on a couple of the news stations. I did see her, I think, on Democracy Now. She has been fighting to have her son's video released as well, and so people took to the streets.
But not only her son video released, they are marching today for a lot of videos. A lot of parents have been, they were saying today, I did see this on the news today, a lot of parents was afraid to come forth, but now since the people are marching and giving the lot of people, the newsman said I've got courage and decided to come forth, and a lot of mothers and fathers are coming out with signs and saying they want their son's video released, and they saying now they are going to release some more videos, because a lot of the people are saying that they was they had evidence that their child was murdered too. And a lot of their children evidence have been planted on their kids. So this is what one of the marches about today. And I saw a young man that was marching, and he was about 18 years old, and they interviewed him today. And they asked asked the young man, just picked out a rambling young man was walking, and he said that he was walking because he was tired of people being shot down like a dog. He was tired of them not being treated as humans. And he was saying that it's so much of corruption. And they asked him, what did he want? And he said he won't run a manual to go. Not only him to go, they need to bring in a new police task force to oversee, see what's going on, because the task force that they have picked to oversee this, they are already there. They just moving them around from one part to the other. I ain't really bringing in nobody new. So they were saying they don't want to listen to Ron Emanuel because he have already lied to them, and it's been 14 months, and they don't want to hear nothing he got to say, because the young man said he the one covered it up, said he the one was behind the scenes covering it up. He said Ron Emanuel fought tooth and nail to stop this tape from being released. So Rahm Emanuel today, I don't know if anybody seen the video today, Rahm Emanuel gonna set up and give a press conference today, and he gonna start crying. Like, because the young man asked Rahm Emanuel a question. He asked Rahm Emanuel, do you think that you can walk down the street and nobody would, and I walk down the street, that they would treat you different from the way they treat me? And Rahm Emanuel said, yes, they would treat me different. And that's what the black boy was saying. And then Rahm Emanuel gonna get so teary-eyed like he was crying. Well, where in the hell, why you wasn't crying? Excuse me? Now, y'all know I'm a Christian. Lord, forgive me. I got a little angry. But where was he when the young man was shot 16 times? Why were you one crying out to release the tape and send him to jail?
Mm-hmm.
So,
he was
get reelected.
Like, yeah, he was too busy trying to get reelected. So, Chicago been low down and dirty for a long time. Let me share this article here. Protesters marched through downtown after mayor's speech promising police reform. First, let me give out the phone number. You're listening to The Lotus Place, and you can join in the conversation on this Wednesday night by calling in to 641-715-3660. And the participant code is 641077. No. The participant code is 549032, and press pound and press *61 if you would like to join in the call. So that's 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032. Press *61 to speak, and we will get you right in to hear your questions and your comments. I want to read this article here about Chicago. I'm just so proud of Chicago. I mean, Chicago shut it down today. They shut it down. Protesters march in the loop after mayor promises police reforms. Yeah. Hundreds of protesters marched and chanted in the loop and the Magnificent Mile Wednesday, demanding the resignation of Mayor Rahm Emanuel in the wake of videos showing alleged police misconduct. The protest began in the morning outside the city council chambers within minutes of the mayor finishing a 45-minute speech on making police more accountable, at times going off script and appearing to choke up with emotion. The protest continued into the evening, largely dispersing about 5, and some protesters headed to Chicago's public safety headquarters for a Chicago police board meeting later Wednesday evening. I know I watched a little bit on the live stream, maybe just about an hour or so ago, and people were still in the streets. So, Let's see, this other young man's name. I'm going to try to see, can I get this? One of them name is Chapman. His mother was trying to have his video released. He was shot and killed in 2013. Let's see, and the judge barred the release of a 2013 video of the fatal shooting of this young boy named Cedric Chapman. And his family is saying that the video contradicts statements from police that Chapman had turned and pointed a dark object at police as he ran. Well, okay, now, if you just listen to this statement, he pointed a dark object at police as he ran. Well, why don't y'all just get back in the car, let the boy run. What was he doing anyway? Oh, they said he was involved in he was a carjacking suspect. Oh, Lord, have mercy. So that warrants you shooting him and then lying about it.
Yep.
But you know, this is what gets me. These people, these cops, have been planting evidence for decades, on our young brothers and sisters, and they know this.
And then that is correct. And then not only top of that, these young men said that the police would deliberately tell them that they was going to get them. And the young men was afraid of them. And they would just boast and brag about they was going to plant evidence on them and tell them to their face, the young man said. And was nothing they could do about it.
Mm-hmm.
So they would tell them, who you think they're going to believe?
Right.
They ain't gonna believe you over me.
Yeah. Forcing false confessions out of people, holding people without due process. So what is there to investigate? There needs to be a complete overhaul of the system. This has gone on from city to city and from state to state. It's not just Ferguson. It's not just Baltimore. This happens everywhere. It's not just Memphis. It's not just Texas. It's everywhere. And Loretta Lynch refuses to hold these policemen accountable. She refuses to do that. She is breaking the law. That's just, it's insane to me. It's insanity. I cannot believe it. I don't understand. Why is it that they, why do they think that they can just continue to shoot people down and then give us this little statement of, oh, well, we're going to do some investigating. We'll investigate. What is that all about? What is that? So, Delta, give us some hot topics and we can pick back up. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to say this before we get in the hot topic. You know
sure.
what? She's doing just the police officer. That is her main goal. It's not to really see about the citizens. It's to make her look good and stay on her job and keep the people happy that she represents. That's all that's there.
Oh.
Well, let's get right on in our hot topic and we'll jump right back in.
Okay.
Well, we got a case. It happened in... let me see, I got it all wrote down tonight on my little piece of tonight.
Good.
We got a case where a man in Michigan, 24 years old, was so angry with his girlfriend just because when he was talking to her, she wouldn't look at him. But if you saw his eyes and how cross-eyed he was, that's why she wouldn't look at him. The man got so angry with his girlfriend. This is a true story. He got so angry, he shot his girlfriend because she refused to look at him. He shot her and killed her in Michigan.
Oh, Lord.
And she was 20, she was like 24 years old. He shot her and killed her.
She was young.
Okay.
And he must have been
real young
to her prior to
and when was
her.
That Then we have another case in Kentucky where this man, his girlfriend and him had just got through having Thanksgiving dinner. It was the next day after Thanksgiving. And they had a turkey, and the girl was going to take the turkey out of the fridge. Y'all, this is true. This is a true story I'm telling you. And it come off of Channel 7 News. So this young lady had a turkey that was left over, and she had it in the refrigerator. She took it out to set it on the counter. You know, had to let the turkey, I guess, kind of thaw out a little bit or whatever, because they had ate some of it the day before. And she was, wherever she set the turkey at, she came back to pick it up to get it. And it wasn't there. And she was looking for the turkey, and she was hearing funny sounds. So she went to the bathroom door. Y'all, this is true. And the woman opened the bathroom door, and they white, because you know they get freaky. The man was having sex with the turkey the woman had cooked, and they had ate half of the turkey. The man was having sex with the turkey. The woman got a knife and stabbed the man 6 times. This is a true story.
Say, what? He was having turkey.
Yes.
What the hell?
Yes.
Wait a minute.
I'm not lying. I posted it on your page. That's that article. You remember that new article I told you I found up?
A dead cooked turkey. He was having a dead cooked turkey.
They had ate half of the turkey Thanksgiving. The next day after Thanksgiving, the lady went in the refrigerator to get the leftover turkey. It wasn't there. The lady heard funny sounds from her boyfriend. And when she heard these sounds, she opened the door. There was her boyfriend in the bathroom having sex with a cooked turkey.
Lord have mercy.
He was having sex with a cooked turkey. The lady took a knife, a white young girl. I sent it to all our friends. And the lady took a knife and stabbed the man 6 times.
Oh, my God.
Have y'all ever heard anything?
Crazy and ludicrous and disgusting is that. Never have I heard anything like that before. Death. That's just too much.
But see, this is let you know how freaky people see us. Okay, this is my new news station. I find all this is true news. Okay, then we have another case where this man and lady. They in your town, Delta. I mean, not Delta, Black Rose. They in Memphis, where your hometown, Memphis.
What happened?
They was homeless, and they went to Walmart. And they had been living in the attic. This is a true story. They have been living in an attic in Walmart up in Memphis, up in the attic. They had been living there 2 years in the attic at Walmart.
Living in the attic at Walmart.
They had took them living in the attic at Walmart in Memphis. They had took a bed and put upstairs. They had took a 50-inch TV upstairs. He even sliced the cable wire to hook the TV up. Then was ordering stuff and ordering the the football games, the fights, and everything. He was ordering all this, and Walmart was being charged for it.
Oh, what?
And then they had, yes, it's on my Facebook page. Go and look at these news articles. And they had been cooking crystal meth up inside of Walmart for 2 years. And this how they got busted, y'all. They had got them a bed and a mattress. It was upstairs. And I guess it was like over the room where you sit, the break room, from my understanding. And yes, and they heard noises. And they heard a banging. And what happened? The same crazy man had went in down to, he went down to Walmart with, which where he was staying. He came out of the attic and went and got him some KY jelly.
Oh, Lord.
And him and his girlfriend, this is truth.
Mm-mm-mm.
He got him some KY jelly.
Uh-huh.
And they was having intercourse. And he turned around and the headboard was hitting the wall. And the headboard was hitting the wall. And when the headboard was hitting the wall, the people alerted the security to the noise. And they went upstairs and they had a whole house sitting upstairs. They got it, everything they needed from inside of Walmart. They
right there in Walmart.
And living upstairs, right there in Walmart for 2 years. Two whole years.
Running a meth lab in Walmart.
Cooking meth. Running a meth lab in Walmart.
And you know, see, now this is something that
can I get?
The news media, I just want to make a comment about your hot topic right there. This is something that the news media, the mainstream media, refrains from reporting how these white people are cutting up on this mess. And I remember when, what's going on here? I'm trying to open up Icy Hot's mic. When crack was an epidemic running rampant in the black community, that's all you saw on the news was crackheads robbing liquor stores and this and that. And these white people that's on this meth, they're doing some awful crazy things, just like this story that you're sharing with us tonight, living up in Walmart. And you know what? Now, somebody in Walmart, they knew those people were living up there. Somebody was buying them meth from them. They knew it. You can't tell me that those people were living up in that attic for 2 years and nobody knew. Because meth smells.
2 years.
It has a strange smell.
2 years.
From my understanding, I never smoked any meth, but from watching, what was that show? Breaking Bad. Yeah, Breaking Bad. When the man became the science teacher became a big meth pusher or whatever, meth dealer, and they knew that they knew they were selling meth up there. Somebody there was buying. Somebody, one of the customers, the managers or something, probably the nighttime manager. He knew they were all purchasing their meth from those people. Welcome in, Icy Hot.
Well, thank you. I've been trying to get in since you started.
Yeah, I wonder what happened. I didn't even see you in the queue.
I don't know why these people don't want me to talk.
I don't, I don't know why they don't want me to talk.
I don't either. I just don't
just
know.
I cannot imagine why they don't want me to talk.
I mean, she was just sending me messages. Is my mic open? Is my mic open? No, don't even see you in the queue. Don't even see you in the queue at all.
Didn't want to show up tonight. Just didn't want me to show up tonight.
Mm-mm. Well, they didn't want you to
show
up.
I was persistent.
Thank you for being persistent and joining us tonight.
I'm going to have to go back to some of y'all's beginning stuff and comment on it. From the very beginning. Number one, this is what I don't understand.
Okay.
Why these parents said they were afraid when your child has been murdered by anybody. Why would you be afraid? Can somebody help me understand that? That's number one.
Yeah, help me understand it too.
Because they were probably threatening them. They were probably threatening them, Isaac.
Number two.
You know
they took away my child.
You already took away my child. What else can you do to me? Go ahead.
Number two. Neither of my children, thank God, have been murdered by anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I was threatened. I ain't done nothing but try to help Miss Dorothy Dunn to get her children back. Mm-hmm. I had a young Minneapolis policeman ride up beside me and told me just what they tell the young boys. We are going to get you. I filed a complaint, and of course, the brother over there told me, no, we under, ain't nothing happening like that on our police force. These people have the Nazi group, and everybody knows it, across the nation. Mm-hmm. And they hook up, and they talk to each other, and when some little thing go down, and if it hadn't happened to me, I wouldn't have believed them young boys. And I believe to this day, this is why God allowed me to go through all the things that I went through so that I would understand what these young boys go through. And I set up at a precinct meeting they were having over here. That's what I told them. I said, the things that are going on are atrocious. I said, when a person like myself become public enemy number one, I know something is way out of whack. I'm public enemy number one. Please.
I've done nothing.
I'm big, but I've done nothing but tried to be a good, decent, productive person in society. And what
right.
they tried to do, I started helping Dorothy, trying to help her with this situation of getting her grandchildren. All hell broke loose. And I would not have believed it if I hadn't gone through it. Getting threatened by police, harassed and followed all around the city. And I got me a little camera, got pictures of them. That put me up, mounted me one of them little things up there just so people would see it and believe it.
Mm.
Some of them were shot. Mm. When I would go play, they track you by your cell phone. Because I was wondering, what's going on here? How they, you know, hey, I'm not doing anything. All I'm doing is doing what I always do.
Mm-hmm.
Work, church, go to school, help people, do what I do.
Mm-hmm.
But these guys, apparently, they're using our tax dollars to do all these things, as you can see, like what's going on everywhere. But it's real clear to me that that's what's going on, and it's going to keep going on, and they want to bring on the ISIS thing and cloud the water and muddy it up. And, man, I just don't understand why anybody would be that afraid if your child has been murdered. You know, they threaten you, and they do, and they mean it, and they will get you.
Mm-hmm.
That's why so many people end up.
But you know
they
what?
Will get all kind of crazy stuff started happening. Like, what is wrong?
Right. So.
But you know what, Miss Eisenhot, they was ain't no telling what they lot have been doing to those people in that neighborhood and terrorizing those people. It just no telling what those people may have been through. So
well,
I don't know what they've been
through. We already know what they've been going through.
What do you mean? They're going through the. You can't. They're not going to stop. They are evil. These people that have that little connection that's set up like that, that will do these things, they're pure evil people. Because nobody really could do something like things that these people are doing and live with themselves.
That's right. Let's take a quick break and we'll pick right back up. You're listening to The Lotus Place and we will be right back after this break.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Okay, and we are back. And so I agree with you, Icy Hot, on that. If you've already killed my child, then to me, and this is just me, then that to me would empower me even more so. To fight you.
Me
now,
too.
I don't know everybody's particular situation. I don't know what they said. But I mean, to me, I just look at it like, if you kill my child, I mean, that's the threat right there. First of all, you tell me, well, if you do this, then I'm gonna kill your child. Then maybe I could see me standing down on something. But after you've already killed my child, then what is it for me to stand down on? I'm coming at you full force. You took away my blood. You took away my baby. You took away my child. So what else can I be afraid of? What you gonna do, take my life? Well, take it. You took my child's life. But until then, I'm gonna fight you to the death, to the end. I'm gonna fight you to the death. Period. And that's just the way that I see it. You know, so I just pray that these people gain more power and more strength, that they will continue to fight and continue to come out and speak out. I know that the Latino brothers and sisters up in Chicago, they started like a 16-day demonstration like last week. And so they're coming out and also speaking out about how cops have been killing them. And I'm hoping that these Asian people in Houston and around the country, I hope that they'll come out and start speaking up too, because they're getting shot down too. I mean, not in the numbers that we're getting shot down, but I mean, they're getting shot down just like the Latinos and the black people like us. So people just need to stand up against this whole corrupt system of these
because corruption. And these people are they're on drugs, and some, a lot of them are mentally ill.
Yeah,
and they have scraped the bottom of the barrel to get some of these people working, you know, and particularly around in some of these places. I mean, you can look at them and tell they probably have some mental health issues or mental retardation or something, and they are so happy to have a job, and they're going to do exactly what anybody tells them to do, no matter how wrong it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely correct. Can I give my other two hot tickets, please?
Sure.
Go ahead. I told y'all I got some doozies tonight.
Yeah, you did. You did.
Okay, we got another case in Atlanta. We have to be careful, people, when we go on the computer and the internet and order. Like, this lady went on the internet and ordered a clown for her son's birthday. She did not want to go through the original way of, you know, like getting the how they do the background checks and all like that. She went through the internet to keep from paying all this money. And she found this clown on the internet. And this clown, and this happened in, this one right here happened in, Alabama. I'm ready for y'all tonight. I got me a piece of paper like it's over. This one happened in Alabama. And, and she told, they was having a birthday party for her six-year-old son, and the daddy hired the clown so he can entertain the kids and paint the kids' face. Okay, so what happened was all the kids went inside of the house, and the people had a beautiful little white poodle dog. And all these stories, you can go on my Facebook. It's on the Channel 7 News. And they had, they was looking, they had a poodle dog, but one of the ladies, the mothers from the party, said she knew all the kids was inside the house, and she saw the little blow up thing where all the kids go in, the little blow up house where they go in and jump around in there. So the lady said she saw the house moving around. She went and peeped through the house. There was the clown in there raping the woman's poodle dog. The lady said she almost passed out. They called the police. The clown was running down the street. And they got the clown and they arrested this true story. And they arrested him, and the dog had to have surgery and be snitched, had to have stitches and everything. All this is on Dorothy Dunning's Facebook page. Dunning. This is real news stories on Channel 7 News. Okay, now this is my last story. I got plenty more. I'm ready now because I found one with a doozy. And this news station here is Outlandish Stories. but they are true stories. There was a, they was having a funeral, and this one happened, y'all, in Atlanta, Georgia. They was having a funeral, and it was this prominent white man. He was 87 years old, and he had come from this rich family. Y'all, hold on to this one now. And they was preaching the funeral, and a black girl walked in. When she walked in, she went up to the casket. Nobody knew her. She was the only black girl there. The black girl stood up and started twerking over the casket.
What?
The black, she, this is true story. She scrattled the casket and got over on top of the dead man and started twerking. They
now,
were going out of the church
person?
With the dead man. Wait, this is no lie. Wait a minute now. They was going out of the church with the body. I'm going to tell you. I got to give y'all a story now.
Okay.
They was going out the church with the body. The lady got up on the casket again and started twerking. The lady knocked the casket over. The casket came open. When the casket came open, the woman jumped inside the casket and took her behind and started squelch, bouncing and twerking over the 87-year-old old white man's face. And she was just twerking. They called the police on the woman. The family did. Had the police to arrest the woman. The woman, the police asked the woman, why was she doing what she done? The woman said, this is my papa. This is what the woman told the police. Said, this is my papa. Papa and me have been in a relationship for 2 years. He was 87. She said her and Papa had been in a relationship. The police said she referred to him as Papa, and that's what she called him. And Papa and her had been in a relationship for 2 years. When they put the man in the nursing home, the lady told the police, if you don't believe that we was in a relationship, you go to the nursing home. The police followed up and did everything the lady did, told the lady, you know, to prove that she wasn't crazy, that they was in a relationship. The police asked her, why was she twerking on the man? She said that Papa told her that he loved for her to twerk, and Papa paid her to scratch him and twerk in his face. And she said she was giving Papa his wish because that's what he wanted her to do, was twerk. He loved for her to twerk. And that was his damn wish for her to come and twerk on him. The son was so upset. The white son was so upset. He said that the woman was lying. They didn't have no dealing with no black folks in their family. There is no black folks nowhere around in their family, and they had no dealing with black people. The girl proved that her and the man had been going together for 2 years solid. The nursing home confirmed that from day one, the woman been coming almost every day to visit the man. She was a faithful visitor. The family, Papa just did not tell the family that he had been having private sessions toward the, and Papa was 87 years old.
Papa was a rolling song. Papa had him
y'all,
girlfriend coming to visit him, huh? Oh, my God.
But they was going to try to send the girl to prison and said the girl was crazy. But after the girl proved that she done everything the man requested of her, they turned the girl loose.
My, my, my.
Isn't that a doozy, y'all?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard anything like that in my life. I really don't. We have a caller, though. Maybe they've heard something like that. Let's see. Let's go to caller at 650.
Hey.
Hey.
How's it going?
It's
this Red from
good.
Cali.
This who?
Red from Cali.
Red from Cali. How are you?
All righty. How the ladies doing?
Doing well.
Fine.
All right. Well, the situation in Chicago and around the world, rather, in our urban areas, where's our black lawyers at?
I ask that all
where's
the
all,
time.
Where's all these people that took the bar?
Thank you.
What did you do it for?
Right.
Oh,
I don't blend in. They want to blend in with the corporate community so they can make their money and pay for all of those high bills that they have from getting all of those degrees. Now, the sister over here in Minneapolis, she's from L.A. What she say? I'm from South Central L.A. I'm not from Minneapolis. That's what she told us the other day at the NAACP meeting. She's a lawyer.
And she ain't doing nothing.
She got arrested. No, she's leading the charge on this last situation where this young man was killed here, shot point blank in the head. And so they took over the 4th Precinct over there. Those of us that didn't go, we bought them some food over and helped people get their little mittens and hats, and people bought them those. And so they're still talking.
Right. We need more. We need more.
Yeah, well, let me ask you this. If you were a person that has passed the bar, you're an attorney, you're a lawyer, what steps would you take? What would you do? What would some of your actions be? Delineate
first
that
thing,
for us.
First thing, I investigate the case and the officer. Because for sure, every officer that's having an encounter with an urban individual, they know he ain't got no money for no lawyer, so they're doing what they want. And you go find a loop in the case. You're going to find a loop. Something they didn't do right. Whether they didn't read him his rights, whether, you know, something
they didn't
do right.
They don't find anything like that. You know, let me tell you. The system is so corrupt here in this country. The legal system is so corrupt. You have your prosecutor who's working with everybody, and the judges are doing what's supposed
right.
to be
oh,
done.
I've been in the lynchroom. I know.
Everybody's all hooked up. They'll move judges around just to get what they want to get done. So all of these things are very, very corrupt and construed, so the lawyers, really, their hands are tied. And number one, to be very honest with you, I don't know where we've been all these years, but the lawyers work for the establishment for the most part. You know, you really can't do what needs to be done if you are a bar exam person. You really can't do anything.
Because the judge got the last word. At the end of the day,
at the end of the day, you all a part of them. That's why they set the system up to have all this plea bargaining stuff going on, and it's just sad. It's just sad. It's always been that way.
How did O.J. Simpson then beat that case? How them lawyers beat that?
Well, you know, money has always talked.
I mean, if he was poor, they could have went about it the same way, right? Whether you
no,
have money or not,
no,
do your job.
No,
come on now.
No,
you can't go without anything.
You get
stripped down so much, you wouldn't even have a morsel of food to feed yourself with fooling with
right.
these people like
I
that.
I understand that, but I'm saying the lawyers, you see what I'm saying?
You don't understand the corruption. Apparently, they're not going for it. You got a bunch of money to pay a bunch of people to do a bunch of stuff, to do, get a lot of witnesses.
I know.
Judges and the people take this money has always talked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You have a better chance of being a wealthy person getting off on a murder case than a poor person stealing some bread. You're gonna go to jail and do more time than a rich person that murders someone.
All right, money talk.
Absolutely.
Yes. Because I can give you a good scenario, a share. You know the young white boy that was in Texas, and they used that case about what he was so rich they call him what was that word they used for him?
Affluenza.
Yeah. And you know what that term they said was? Because I looked at it the other day on the news, because he's back in the news again for something else he undone. They used that term was that he was so rich and his folks had so much money, they never told him no. And it was his parents' fault. Whatever he wanted, the parents gave it to him. And he never heard the word no. This boy killed four people, and two people are paralyzed. This boy went to a private, like a facility. It was like for a rich person to play golf. This boy went there for 2 years, and there were four people dead, and two people paralyzed. So now this young man is out and back in the news the other day, and the judge ordered him not to drink. He drinking at a party. But I'm saying all this to say this. His money bought him out.
Right.
If you ain't got no money to buy you out, you can go somewhere and sit down. I can give you another case where another man that was rich, and he had been arrested like 5 times. For driving under the influence of alcohol. And when he got caught again, this man owned the business. Do you not know that this man had tickets to go to the Super Bowl? And it made the news. The judge allowed this man to, after he hit somebody and almost killed them, and the judge said he had him bought his tickets and to let him go to the Super Bowl. Now, you know, ain't no poor black person.
You can't even get out of here.
Wait a minute, let me even back it up. They ain't even got to be poor. They ain't even got to be poor. The judge is not going to tell them that he could go into his Super Bowl because he don't pay for his ticket.
So we need to start treating the black lawyers like we treat the cops, huh? Boycott them too, huh? No respect for them too. They ain't helping their people. They ain't
I don't know what this lawyer, black or white, who did this, but I'm just.
I'm saying the black lawyers. I'm saying the black lawyers. Period. Just like the black cops, they ain't telling on the bad white cops or the other black ones.
But it's a few sprinkles here and there. Yes, these people they operate by a code of silence, and then those that do want to come out, and like I can't think of the woman's name, but there was a woman, she tried to stop her white male colleague from abusing someone, and an arrest. And she was the one that was arrested or reprimanded for obstructing justice. So
that is correct.
Right. So when these cops do try to come out and speak, because I know some personally that have had to resign from the police department, because when they did try to speak up and make a statement, then they were set up to be killed or reprimanded by the captain or lieutenant or something like that. So, you know, what do you do?
Resign and start exposing.
And there was a case.
Resign and start exposing.
And there was a case There was a case the other day on Inside Edition. Uh-huh. And if you go back, you can pull it up. It was on there this week. There was two white men on there. They was police officers.
Uh-huh.
And they said that their supervisor was going around calling a black woman that worked in their department, calling her a monkey, and calling the and using all type of racial slurs, and he was the supervisor. And they captured their supervisor saying all this and exposed him. Who you think they went after? The two white cops who was trying to do what's right, because they couldn't understand why did this man do it, because the man said he could see the hurt and pain in the woman's face. And the man said they exposed their captain. They let the man resign. They let him resign. Then they turn around and the man, the two policemen that turned their captain in, you know what happened to them though? They ain't got no job no more. They said the white people in that town, and I forgot where's that, the white people in that town have been coming there and threatening them and calling them nigger lovers and telling them that they're going to kill them and kill their children. So people have a lot to go through with, and that's why a lot of people be silent. A lot of people is afraid because they know there's no repercussions behind it. And look at the man down in Florida, I mean down in Louisiana. And just the other day, where the black man killed this six-year-old boy. These two policemen shot up in that car and killed the boy because the man wanted the man's girlfriend. Now, don't you know that police ain't had no business being on the force? He was already a policeman, and he had two rape charges charged against him. You know why he's still there? Because his daddy is the assistant district attorney. The assistant. So they always got somebody can get them. It's always a way for them to get out. And people don't really know which way to go.
Well, I'll tell you which way to go. Stay off the police department. Stay off the police force. That's which way to go.
Right.
Protect and serve the community. Protect and serve the community. You don't need a badge and a gun to do that. Protect and serve the community. Make sure people keep the paper off the street. Make sure that no men are harassing women or no women are harassing men.
Yeah, go get your gun license.
Make sure the children make it home from school safely. You know, make sure nobody's breaking into people's cars. Just walk in there, patrol your own neighborhood. We used to do it. Patrol your own neighborhood. You know,
sister,
can still
these
have a career.
These days, you better be armed protecting the neighborhood.
Yeah, you better be. You better be.
They crazy. They on PCP of Robitussin and everything else.
They're chemically imbalanced.
That's what happened. The hot topic, when she said the cross-eyed boy shot the girl. He probably was on 55 different narcotics.
Yeah, you know, they smoke this weed, that's laced with this and that, and then they turn around and drink that cough syrup.
And
want to
pick up a gun.
Yeah, then they drink a Red Bull, and then they pop a pill. I mean, you have too much. You're on uppers and downers.
And with a gun.
Yeah, and then you go and pick up a gun, and then you're mad
you're
at
dangerous.
Your girlfriend. And yeah, you're dangerous. You're crazy. You're embarrassed.
You walk out
the
door. Somebody blow the horn. You might start shooting.
Because
you're paranoid.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. So let me ask you this, because we're going to segue into the Freddie Gray case. What do you think about the police officer? So the first one is on trial, the black man, of course, Porter. He's on trial now, and I believe he testified today. I'll play a clip. So what do you think about the Freddie Gray case, and what do you think is going to be the outcome of these six police officers?
Well, you know, I hope they get them. You know, I hope they get life, all of them. But you know how it is. You know, we got to sit and, you know, keep our fingers crossed, you know? Because it's their way or no way. You know how they do it. They got to be able to keep doing it, you know? They got to keep us thinking that what they're doing is right. So if we find one of these people guilty, then we're showing the community that we're, you know. So, you know, it depends on how they want to feel about it, I guess.
Okay.
We want to put this, we want to portray this to the community or we don't, you know.
And my second question for you, then we'll take a quick break. Do you think that Rahm Emanuel will resign, and do you think that state's prosecutor, Alvarez, I believe, in Chicago, do you think that she will resign?
Well, I don't know. I mean, they're putting a lot of pressure on them. They're still out there marching. Mm-hmm. You know, they should. You know, a whole year. Come on, man. It's ridiculous. Everybody should. They should be locked up.
Absolutely.
Let you do something for a whole year.
Yeah. Be a part of a cover-up. Obstructing justice. That's illegal, right? Obstructing justice.
Hiding evidence. That's just like me hiding. I'm hiding somebody in my house for a whole year.
Yeah, and why haven't they arrested those officers that went and extracted their tape from Burger King without a warrant? That's obstruction of justice, is it not?
Mm-hmm.
Surely some type of charges can be filed or something, but hey, I mean, they all work together in cahoots, so.
Right. We just got to stay alert.
Have you guys seen this thing on the Oprah Winfrey Network called If Loving You Is Wrong?
No.
It comes on Tuesdays, and I tell you, the scenarios are just like what we're talking about. There's a dirty police officer on there. There's a dirty police chief. They do all these things that are ugly like that. Then there's this little community of people with black and white people in it. And it's really quite interesting how the corruption, you know, that's what it is. You know, you have all these relationships going on in a community, and this one's doing something with that one, and the policeman, it was just like interesting. You guys should check it out. Check it out. Tuesday about 8 o'clock. It's really interesting. Look at that.
Well, so, and that's called If Loving You Is Wrong.
Yeah, yep.
Okay, maybe I can try to pull it up on Putlucker. Okay, I'll try to check that out. Well, thank you so much, caller, and keep listening in. If you would like to make another comment, just press *61. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll be right back. Okay.
# save the youth, tell the truth.
That's right. 16 shots and a cover-up. Let's take a quick break. Yeah, these people are crazy out here. They think somebody's supposed to just sit here and take these 16 shots. Parents, stand up. If your child has been shot down and killed by the Cricket CPD, stand up. You have people behind you. I guess they probably say, shit, she all the way in Houston. What is she going to do from here in Chicago? Stand up. You got a whole city behind you. And when you get that city behind you, then you can get the state behind you. And then you can get another state. And then you can have the nation behind you. So stand up. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Lotus Place, 641-715-3660. And the participant code is 549032. Press pound.
Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
William Porter is testifying right now for the defense. The jury is listening to him. First of all, very important questions is how the direct examination began. First of all, did you know Freddie Gray? And the defendant, William Porter, said, I knew him very well. He said, I would always see him because I was a patrol officer for the Western District. I saw him every day. Why didn't you call medical attention for him? Because he couldn't give me a reason why. I kept asking him, what's wrong? He couldn't tell me why. And so I knew that it took at least 10 minutes to get there. Also, he was asked, why didn't you seatbelt him in? The answer was, as you've heard in prior testimony, it's very cramped in that police van. And when I go in, if I'm going to seatbelt somebody, my gun is directly where they are able to reach for it. And because of officer safety, it's not done. He said during his police academy field training that the focus was arrest and putting in police van. Never once did he say during that field training of the police academy, did they ever seat somebody in the police van? He went on to say that the reason he became a police officer was when he was young and he was raised right here in Baltimore City, that his parents didn't have enough money to send him to summer camp. So there was a police summer camp that he went to. And that's when he realized he wanted to be a police officer. And in 2012, when he went to the training academy, he said what really tipped it for him was that there were cases out there where people didn't believe in police officers anymore. And he wanted to change that. He said, I wanted to become one that people could respect, that people could know that the police officer is there to help you. He said that in his 2 years as an officer, he never used any use of force, never used his baton, never used mace or any other mechanism. He said he did it with talking to people. He also said that he had never discharged his weapon in the 2 years. Let me tell you about his demeanor on the stand. It's very down to earth, very relatable, very humble. Now he's beginning to be questioned about the morning of April 12th, and he said that he heard over the radio from one of his supervisors there was a foot pursuit. So he immediately got in his patrol car and went to the area, and that's basically where we are now. And he was trying to find another suspect because they believed another suspect was on the run somewhere.
And we just listened to a report from Baltimore on the Porter case, one of the police officers involved in transporting Freddie Gray, which subsequently led to his death. And also we listened to some of the protesters at the Chicago walkout today. And the chant was, Anita has to go, Rahm has to go, 16 shots and a cover-up. And I'm so proud of Chi-Town. You know, Chicago people have that Delta, Mississippi and Memphis blood in them. You know, people from Mississippi moved up to Memphis, and from Memphis they migrated on up to Chicago. So I'm just so proud of my people up there in Chicago for coming out in the streets, standing up and making some noise, and I hope that they effectuate some positive change. I really don't think that Rahm Emanuel will resign. I would be very surprised. I've been polling people and asking them, what do they think? Will he resign? And most people that I've spoken with from Chicago said that they doubt very seriously that he will resign. That's just not going to happen. So, I don't think it's going to happen either, because Obama's watching over him. You know, that's Obama's boy, so I really don't see too much. But you never know, because we are in the midst of a shift. Things are changing. And I must say, Mother Hattie, Icy Hot laughs at me sometimes, but I remember when Icy Hot had that prayer, and her and Randy made that prolific prayer speaking about may the light shine and may we hack ourselves and may everything come to light, all of these wicked deeds that are happening, that have been happening, may the light shine on it, and it is.
You know what? Thank you for reminding me. I do remember that prayer. You are so right.
Yeah, and you just laughed at me. You didn't remember, and you were laughing. I said, no. I said, that was a powerful prayer. And I may play that prayer for us again. I think I still have it in this queue here. Maybe I'll play that. But, yes, it's all coming to light. And as Ta-Nehisi Coates mentioned and other people, the shootings are not new. It's the cameras and the social media that's new. We now have avenues for all of this to come out, because for as long as I can remember, even Bernie Mac, who's gone on and passed with the ancestors, I remember even he had a comedy skit, and he would joke about how, you know, brothers in jail, when you ask them, hey man, what you get locked up for? They say, nothing. Nothing. Everybody said nothing, nothing. And so it's like, you know, oh, you just got locked up for nothing. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Our brothers and sisters just been getting locked up for nothing. Been getting killed for nothing. These people are walking down, Mike Brown walking down the street, Tamir Rice playing in the park. And so many others. John Crawford shopping in Walmart. Whoever, your cousin walking down the street, somebody coming out the store, anything, anybody, and it can happen to anybody.
That's right.
So
it really can.
Yeah, it's sad when you can't walk down the street. And also, Delta, I know you stay on Facebook. Did you see on Facebook that some people are saying that that San Bernardino shooting in California was not actually the shooting was not at the hands of the people that they're saying were the culprits. There were three white males that were behind the shooting. Why not? You believe everything else on Facebook?
I don't believe that. Yeah,
you don't believe that?
Them people there is, they are trying to kill up us.
Who is trying to kill
us?
Who? The police?
We're the police too, but the ISIS people from overseas. But wait a minute. Now let me tell you something about the ISIS people, because I did hear this. ISIS, no, they really did. They had a letter, and the ISIS people told the man, that we do not like, they were talking about the people, and they said, the brown skinned people, you have the white devil inside of you. And they was referring to the white man, saying that they really saying they trying to kill the white people. But if you get caught up in that situation, that's how you're going to get killed. Then they have video of him tonight, came out on the news. They have video out tonight that his friend that they checked in the hospital, his friend that bought the gun, him and his friend was going to a high school in California. They had went there two or three times, and they found them. They found it on the video. The friend, the police didn't know anything about it. The friend that gave him the gun next door said that they had planned to go shoot up and kill these high school students, where it was 2,400 kids at this school. But the reason they didn't do it is because the police had just had another big bust, and that's why they didn't do it. But he said that they want to kill the white people. So if the black folk just happen to be there, well, we sorry, you're going to get taken out too. But their main goal is to kill the whites.
Okay. Well, you know, ISIS was funded and formed
by the United States government.
So. Yeah, that's true, but they don't turn on their behind. You create a monster for somebody else, not a monster turns on you.
Well, I'm going to leave that one alone, Delta, because I know you think the terrorists after us. And I think
well, you know, we all have our own opinion, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's true. That's true. What about the cop in Oklahoma that's been accused of raping the women? Any updates on him, Delta?
Yeah, now they in deliberation right now.
Mm-hmm.
They are in deliberation, and it's an all white jury, and they have DNA evidence where he raped them, and he tried to lie out of it, but they said the girls was more on trial instead of the man.
Yes, that's
so
what
we just gotta wait and see. It's a wait and see game right now because they are deliberating. Ain't nobody said nothing yet. Nobody has said anything. They're waiting.
They're waiting what? They're waiting to.
They're waiting for the jury. They're waiting to see what's going to happen.
Okay. Okay.
So that's what they waiting on.
So everybody's testified. They've had everyone testifying.
But it went to the jury on Monday.
Okay. Okay. So we're on the verdict watch.
From my understanding, it had went to the jury and they doing their closing arguments and different things.
Okay. Let me for those people that are unaware of this case, let me just.
An Oklahoma cop by the name of Daniel Holtzclaw is facing prosecution after he allegedly raped about 8 black women while he was working as a police officer. Now, he has been charged and he's being held on $5 million bond, but the surprising part about this story, or I guess based on stories we've done in the past, the least surprising part of the story is that he has his supporters. Now, according to Raw Story, Daniel Holtzclaw was arrested in August on charges of rape, forcible oral sodomy, sexual battery, and indecent exposure for allegedly sexually assaulting women while on patrol. As I mentioned, he is being held on $5 million bond. Now, a number of his supporters created a Facebook page in order to raise money for him and his defense. And they use, phrases like free the claw and hashtag justice for Daniel Holtzclaw. Right now, the Facebook page has more than 500 people that have liked it. And also, they have created a GoFundMe account that has raised more than $7,000. The last time we checked, it was $7,390. So this guy has been charged with raping and sexually assaulting 8 different black women, and he still has his supporters.
If family members started, I understand, and they probably think he's innocent for whatever reason, right? And it's and they'll have to go to court, see if he is or is not, right? That's how the system works. We don't know what happened in those cases. First, let me just note that I would not use free the claw when we're talking about a guy who might have raped 8 women.
Yeah.
I would go with a different nickname than the claw. Okay, call me crazy. But second of all, he doesn't have 500 family members.
Exactly.
So there are guys out there, or guys and women, who are thinking, like, you go get him, claw. Like, how do they know he's innocent? I don't know.
Crazy.
I mean, I have no idea. I don't know the details of the case that's going to be presented in court. How do they know, right? So they're positive he's innocent? Or is it that they don't care? To which I literally don't understand that. Like, how, like, I don't get it. I don't get it. Is it like, you're like, yeah, way to rape 8 women? Is it the rape part that they're cheering? Is it that it was black women that they're cheering? I literally don't understand it.
He would target women between the ages of 34 and 58, and he would threaten to arrest them unless they exposed their bodies to him, gave him oral sex, and allowed him to fondle them.
Think about that for a second. Why is he targeting those women? It might just be a sexual fetish, right? Like, he likes black women, he likes them in that age group, or maybe he thinks these are the women who are not going to have enough power to fight back.
Let's target the powerless.
Right. Like, if I go after a white woman, who knows? Maybe she's, in his mind, he's thinking, maybe she's the wife of a judge or something, and I'm going to be in trouble, yada, yada. You target a black woman, who's going to be there to protect them? Nobody. So I'm going to get away with it. This guy, 500 likes on his Facebook page. Look, again, if you know him personally and you think he didn't do it, I get it, right? He doesn't know 500 people that are positive that he was innocent. Mm-hmm. Some of those people are liking it for what he did. Crazy.
All right, and that's the case in Oklahoma with the cop raping the black women. And because these women, some of them were supposed to have been on drugs or maybe ladies of the night, ladies of the evening, I guess he thought that it was okay to rape them and he would get away with it. So I'm glad that these women had the guts to at least come to trial and stand trial and make these statements and file the report so that he could be held accountable. Now, will he be arrested and convicted properly, accordingly? That's a whole nother story. I don't know. What do you think, Icy Hot and Delta?
And the youngest one, too. The youngest one, I wanted to tell y'all, the youngest one he raped, because I heard this the other day, the youngest one he raped was 17 years old.
Oh,
and the 17-year-old asked him a question when they had her on the stand.
Uh-huh.
And she asked them a powerful question. And she asked them, do you think that he could rape me and get away with it because the color of my skin? Do you think this is why he is getting away with it? She posed that question back to the jury, you know, like to the lawyer that was asking her that.
Uh-huh.
And that, you know, and that's something to think about it. That's the only reason he can get away with it. And he let them know that he could get away with it.
Uh-huh.
And he raped her at 17.
I don't know what the age is in Oklahoma to be considered a statutory rape, but nevertheless, this man clearly raped these women. And he was a police officer. He raped them while he was on duty. Some of the women even reported that he raped them with his pistol still on his side. So that's just horrible. That's absolutely horrible. Any news about Roland Martin and the preachers, Dale? Because I have a clip to play on Roland Martin.
He hadn't had anything new out. But the preacher, then let me tell you something about the preacher. The one that's on the Word Channel, the bald-headed one, I can't call his name. He says that he had a divine intervention. He said the other day, Lord forgive me, I don't mean to laugh. But he said he had a divine intervention from God.
Mm-hmm.
And he said God told him that he was crying on the Word Channel and asking the people to forgive him. And he said God told him that he put him on there, and God told him that his name was being called more than his, and he wanted God to forgive him. And he was asking the people to forgive him and tell the people that he was sorry.
That he's sorry about what?
But like letting his name be out there. That's all he just said. His name was being mentioned too much. And he said he's supposed to be promoting Jesus.
Oh.
And he said he wanted the people to forgive him.
Is it Bishop George Bloomer?
No, he... No. Yes.
That his name?
That
okay.
is correct. Yeah. And take a guess what? No, he had a divine intervention that his money's going to be cut off.
Ooh,
that's
my
what happened.
Oh
boy. Oh, boy. Okay. Well, let's see. I have a clip. We'll just play some of this one. Let me see. This is Roland Martin speaking with one of the black pastors. And we can have some conversation around this. Okay, let's see.
What in the world was discussed between Donald Trump and more than 100 black pastors? Look, I'm the exact same. We had a conversation on yesterday. Clearly, y'all interested more than 1 million views of a video on my Facebook page. So exactly what the world was talked about. What was discussed, and was there anything that's relevant to you that you care about was actually discussed? Let's get right to it. We've got a couple of pastors who were in the meeting on Monday. One of them is Bishop George Blumer, and also Bishop Richard Cousins, who is, of course, pastor in that Inspiration Baptist Church and Blumer's with Bethel Family Worship Center. Gentlemen, how you doing?
I'm great.
All right, Bishop, well, I want to start with you. You invited the meeting. This was the third meeting. What was actually discussed that was relevant to African Americans? Was there policy? Was there anything specific? Because all I've heard thus far have been these generalities and how wonderful and loving it was.
Well, Roland, before we get there, I want to clear up something that went out preceding the meeting, and that was that 100 African American pastors had come together in a coalition to endorse Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah, we actually put that up yesterday to say, because that wasn't the case. I didn't say yesterday.
Absolutely false. Your question is what happened in the meeting. I was the one who raised the issue of all of these, the racial tension, the insulting of black people, the retweeting and what have you. And for right at about a half an hour to 40 minutes, we stayed on that topic, and he gave some explanation as to what was happening and why he felt or what he felt, and he sort of kind of handled those questions like, well, I didn't know that it was a Black Lives Matter individual. I really wasn't insulting a special needs person. Politicians know how to talk.
Okay, but did he apologize? Did he say he was wrong? Did anybody press him to say, "Oh, you're gonna change your tone"? Because after the meeting, he came out and said
half an hour. I spent the half an hour trying to press that and trying, and I did not get an apology, and I did not get that the rhetoric would be toned down. And I didn't get that from the meeting.
Bishop Cousins, I talked to you yesterday. You also did a Periscope video where you were highly critical of what took place. You said essentially not much came out of it. First of all, we heard there were 109 pastors in the room. You say not even close to that.
No, there were not 109 of us in the room. I took notes of the conversation while we were talking, and I was sitting at the table, and I could easily go around the table and recall where everyone was sitting. The table was set up for 7 on one side, 7 on the other side. My math teacher taught me 7 to 7 is 14, and then 3 on one end. That puts us at 17, and 3 at the top end. So that puts us at 20. So there were 20 people at the table. Sitting behind us, there were row of chairs. With about 15 people at the rows of chairs, that puts us at 35. And then there were some people standing up, a few people standing at the door, about 5 people standing at the door, and directly across in front of me, with people having their backs to the window, there were another 5 to 10 people. So that puts us at 40 to 45. But we took a group photo before the meeting even started. So they could easily just put the photo out or count how many people are in the photo. I'm not sure how we get to 109 when the room wasn't even set up to accommodate 100. There were about 45 to 50 people or so in their room. 50 max.
In terms of substance, do you believe after 2.5 hours that was a meeting of real substance that black folks care about?
No. I would say, and because even when, and Bishop Blumer is correct, he did, he brought up the issue of the whole endorsement thing, and he mentioned Black Lives Matter, the Black Lives Matter incident, and Bishop Fuller issued the Black Lives Matter incident, and I said Donald Trump as well, you know, you started this meeting with telling us you're a Christian because you showed us your Bible that your mom gave you, and you showed us a picture of your confirmation. Christians do love. Christians don't do divisiveness. Christians don't do hate. That's not what Christians do. And he also said he wanted to be a unifier, and he wanted to restore dignity to people. And I said to him, I think you should repent. You should apologize. Before he could even say anything, Omarosa spoke up and says, oh, he doesn't need to repent. He doesn't need to apologize. I was shocked that she was even in the meeting. I respect the fact that she is a minister, but my understanding is that the meeting was supposed to be pastors. And so there was clearly a conflict of interest with her having been someone in the room that has a completely and totally different relationship with Donald Trump. But she felt very comfortable answering on his behalf. And he didn't say much at all. But as far as substance goals are concerned, he put out, as I mentioned to you yesterday, he put out some ideas and some suggestions. To me, I need a strategy from a presidential candidate in order to feel like I've gotten some substance. Talking about the issues in the headlines without identifying a strategy is like diagnosis without prescription.
Mr. Roland, I pressed. I was on this thing for all of about a half an hour. And you know how you get a bunch of preachers inside the room, everybody, you know, chiming at the time and what have you. And they kept on carrying away. I kept on going back to the principal, even dealing with Omarosa to tell her that, you know, she needs to tone that down for a few moments. And so we need to get a statement from Donald Trump on how is he going to deal with our issues and what does he have to say to us. And so Mr. Wilma, after it was over, they had this hip hop news conference, and that was Pastor Parsons, Omarosa, Donald Trump, Darryl Scott, and I believe yourself was right next to Scott. Trump talked about there was lots of love in the room, and it was positive.
You didn't see me, for the record. So go ahead.
Say it again, Victor.
I said you did not see me in the camera shot, for the record. I want to point that out.
So Mr. Wilma, it sounded to me like it was a 2.5 hour waste of time.
Well, that's what it sounds like to me.
I'm asking for what a substance came out of it, and it took me all of
a second, a minute ago, to tell you that in that meeting, there was no substance that came out of it. There was a lot of talking, a lot of people that was in the room. There were some people there that I didn't even know what they were doing there, that was talking about you know, how good Donald Trump is and he's not a racist, and that wasn't even on the docket. What I wanted to what my agenda was, two things: to dispel why he was pulled there, because I didn't come to endorse Donald Trump. That's not why I came. I came to listen to him and any other presidential candidate. And for 2.5 hours, it was a meeting. You had a bunch of people that come inside the room. It was fine. No one was fussing and fighting and what have you. But to answer your question, did we get anything that's going to help our community? It wasn't that kind of meeting.
Bishop Cousins, I've heard other people. I've heard Pastor Mark Burns, and I've heard Darryl Scott and the brother out of Cleveland, Pastor Davis, just talking about how amazing it was and how historic it was. Listening to y'all, I get a whole different view.
Well, I think people went for different reasons, if you will, and I'm not saying that their reasons are not illegitimate. I think people also went with a different set of concerns. That some people that clearly like Donald Trump, and that's why he's probably not going to change. He's so strong in the polls the way he is, and that speaks more to whatever this quiet political machine that's behind him is really capable of doing than it does him himself. So for some people that already made up their mind, they find him likable or whatever the case may be, for me, I went looking for substance. So I needed to hear a little bit more. I'm not impressed by the personality. I'm not impressed by the stardom. I'm not impressed by his financial status. This man is talking about being the president of the free world. And I needed substance. I needed some real stuff to come out of the meeting that I felt like was going to impact all communities for the better. experiment, I needed an understanding of why he could continue to be so demeaning to minorities and feel safe about this within the context of his own spirituality. And for me, I didn't get it. I don't feel like the meeting was a waste of time because I needed to see that. I needed to see and be reminded that there is a giant in the land, but we are well able.
Bishop Bloomer, when Trump met with Black pastors in October, that was a news conference happening. I talked to a pastor who came at that meeting. He said Trump came an hour and a half late. There was supposed to be a Q&A. He only spoke about 1 minute, and then he went to the news conference. At the news conference, Trump spoke, Daryl Scott spoke, and you also spoke, and you talked about the issue of fire, and then you made a comment regarding Trump and fighting for jobs or for Christians. I've had many people who said that sounded as if you were praising Donald Trump. Some said that was endorsing his views. I'm looking for the video right now to pull it up, but can you explain that in terms of what you were trying to say when you were saying that the kind of man that Trump is and he would be speaking up for Christians?
Thank you so much for raising that up. The statement was that there's fire, and a lot of Christians get upset about that. I was talking, in metaphorically speaking, that fire is fire, and if you put metal and precious stones in the fire, it's going to purify it. If you put a wood or paper in the fire, it's going to consume it. So the difference between a consuming fire and a purifying fire, and my point was that he's being tried in the fire. When it comes down to someone that can create jobs, I believe that Donald Trump can create jobs. I don't know enough about the political process. I don't know him well enough to give him my endorsement. Anyone who's asked me about that from the beginning, I told them, I'm just invited to the concert. I'm listening to the choir sing, and I haven't heard my hymn yet, and that's that. I haven't endorsed him. I'm not endorsing Donald Trump. I'm not swimming back. I'm not swimming forward. Any candidate that is out there that would give me an audience to listen, and I can go in as a prophetic voice to hear, and because I want this nation to make it, I'm open to listening to it.
I want to play that particular video for us so folks know exactly what I'm referencing. Shelley, please go to my iPad. You don't see it right now? All right.
Again, for me, the conversation has to begin to move away from Donald Trump, and it has to get down to the reality of what's going on in the electorate that he could be.
Victor, hold on once over.
All right. And that was Roland Martin interviewing, what's his name? Bishop Bloomberg, and what is this other one's name? I need to get the church okay. Bishop George Bloomer of Bethel Family Worship Center, and also Bishop Victor S. Cousins of Inspirational Baptist Church. You familiar with any one of those churches, Delta or Icy Hot?
No, I don't know anything. I'm not familiar with them. The only one I'm familiar with is the Word Channel that be on TV. But the only thing I can say is they before this even came out to the media, if you sit there and listen at his interview with Roland Martin, that they have met with Donald Trump 7 times. He said it. And they asked him, have y'all anybody brought up any policies? Uh-huh. And the man said himself, the preacher said himself, he said no. And he said Donald Trump, they never got a chance to discuss any policies. So what was you going there for?
That's
you
were
going there just to say you ate dinner at the Trump Tower 7 times with the white man? You know that's what it was. That's exactly what it was. And you gonna say you want people to endorse somebody, and you don't even, he ain't told you nothing about no policies? Nothing about anything? Think about that now. He said it 7 times they met with him. Then they said Donald Trump told them personally that he was not going to apologize. He didn't have nothing to apologize for.
And then, of course, you have
so
Omarosa taking up for him. And she was on his Apprentice show years ago.
Yeah, Omarosa didn't even learn to speak. She didn't even learn to speak. They said Omarosa every time they would ask him about a policy or anything. But see, he hadn't already got that scrape with Omarosa.
Oh,
it's always Omarosa called herself. She called herself a preacher, but yet how you gonna be a preacher, Omarosa, and you were just living with a man that died? Been living with him for some years.
She was just living with a man that what? She kind of cut out there a little bit, Delta. What was she doing?
She was living with the actress that died. There was an actress that died. I was trying to think of the movie he played in. It was a real famous movie. What is that movie about the Nile?
That's right.
Ooh,
was she involved with, what's his name? Not Ving Rhames, but the other one. I know who you're talking about.
You know the one I'm talking about. What was the name of that movie? Because he made that movie so famous.
Let me see if can I get his
it
name.
It was the Mile movie.
The Green
the
Mile.
Okay. Tom Hanks was the star of the movie, him and Tom Hanks.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Omarosa and him was living together.
It was Michael Clark Duncan. Michael Clark Duncan.
That is correct. That is correct. You're absolutely correct.
Because I think he had just become like a vegetarian or something like that. And they were saying, like, you know, what happened? He had just, like, taken on a new healthy lifestyle and all of this. And then all of a sudden he died.
Yeah, but he probably had a steroid himself to death.
Didn't you see how
his muscles and all that stuff was? Now, you know that man had to use steroids for years. You can look at his body and saw how his body was swollen and all puffed up.
Yeah, you know, they say Nelly's on steroids, that rapper Nelly.
Well, that's probably true. They do that. They'll do whatever it takes for them to get big.
I had those steroids make their penises small, though. If I was a man, I would not want to forfeit my big penis for some big muscles. Cause I mean, we could care less about some arm muscles. We'd rather, you know, the big penis.
No.
More so than the.
We want a big juicy black penis.
Yeah, not no big juicy black muscles on your arms. I mean, just feeling on your regular arms would be fine, but you sure can't have those big muscles and some little bitty twinky little piglet penis because you're taking steroids. Ooh, that would just make me so mad.
But yeah, let's get back to our talk now. Let's stay focused.
Okay.
Now. Let me get on back there, Coach. Let me tell you. He sure did. He did not. Why would you go have a meeting with a man? Now, don't get me wrong. Now, y'all know I agree with some things he's saying, some things I don't, but I ain't crazy in that. Why would you go and deal with a man for you and had several meetings with him? They said this. They said before they even came out on TV, you and had several meetings with him, and you ain't discussed no policy. Roland Martin asked them that you mean to tell me y'all ain't discussed any policy and you had all these meetings and you ain't got around to yet discussing no policy with him? And Roland Martin asked them, you just went to go set up and eat at the Trump Tower to say you ate with Donald Trump?
And people I hear are hurting. This man is, you know, is saying that he's going to do this and do that, and you didn't ask him about any of his policies. So that's something to think about. These black preachers didn't ask him about any of his policies. And then all of them started running once it was like, see, they was going to try to slip an endorsement in there. And once the ruckus was made about it, all the black preachers went to running.
Hmm.
They all went to running. All of them went to running.
Once the meeting was exposed.
Once the meeting was exposed, they all went to running. So this is something to think about. Why do you Uncle Tom preachers going to having a backdoor meeting?
I think they probably were trying to y'all find know their pockets.
That's all it is. They want a picture with them and Donald Trump. And you know, a lot of them is pushing. You had two or three of them on there already have a reality show.
Yeah, so what
the
are they
Preachers of L.A.?
The Preachers of L.A., and I think it was another Preachers of, what, Detroit or something?
Yeah. Yeah, and so all this is this publicity for them, the fat in their pocketbooks.
Well, what do you think? And I don't think that they even mentioned anything about the police corruption or people losing their homes or the jobless rate, unemployment rate, anything like that. So, I think they were just trying to line their pockets. And that's unfortunate. That's unfortunate because I'm sure that there's some people in their congregation, some of their parishioners, that probably need some type of assistance. I'm sure. And so for them to not have their best interests at heart when they're going in there to meet with Donald Trump, that's just unacceptable. And I hope that, I'm really.
Because you got a lot of people. You got a lot of people in that congregation, old people who give their social security check. And a lot of them older people is a lot of the biggest money payers. Because they said when Jim Baker and Timothy Baker had that resort, they said a lot of their money came from them old senior citizens people. And they target those old people in their congregations. And then the old people, you can't even get nobody to do nothing for them. If all the preacher want to do is drive them a Rolls Royce, who got the biggest Rolls Royce and who get the biggest money and who can get the biggest chicken plate dinner.
And who can have a jet
I'm telling you, I know. They want the biggest chicken plate dinner. And then they want the biggest car, the biggest hat, and the biggest church to say, I got this and I got that. But I heard the other day, they said Joyce Myers have more members than just about anybody. She have more members than just about any of them. She have more than any of them. Joyce Miles. The white lady, Joyce Miles.
Oh, yeah.
But Joyce Miles, every time you see her, she over in Africa or somewhere, some foreign country feeding the people. Always somewhere feeding somebody. But now I'm going to tell you somebody who don't ask for no. Let me give you a church that don't ask for no money. They won't take a dime from you. They won't take a penny from you. Two churches I know of, they don't ask for no money. It's the Church of Christ and the Jehovah's Witness. They don't ask you for one red cent.
The Jehovah Witness
they do not believe in it. Jehovah Witness and Church
of
Christ.
How do they pay for their expenses if they're not asking for money?
I'm going to have to ask my uncle about that one now.
What I mean, let me explain myself.
Okay.
They don't go, they people, like, the people pay like an offering. They members.
Tithing.
But they don't ask their members they tithe and stuff like that. But they don't ask their members like for money and stuff like that. I know a girl go there, and I know several people that's in both of those organizations. And I asked the girl one day, I said, why y'all don't ask for no money? I just asked the girl this back about 2 weeks ago because the girl is my mail lady.
Uh-huh.
And she said, I became a minister. And I said, oh, you did? She said, yeah. I said, well, can I ask you a question? I said, why y'all don't take up no money? She said, we don't believe in that. She said, we sell a book, and if you want a book, you buy it. And they sell a book for no more than a dollar, but if they tell you to give them whatever. And if you don't have no money for their book, they leave it on your doorstep anyway. They're not allowed to ask for money. They do it among themselves. They don't believe in it. They don't believe in asking for no money.
Well,
and the Church of Christ don't believe in it either.
What is the tithing?
The tithing is going and paying the light bills and stuff like that and running the church. But when I say ask for money, let me tell you something about my organization. I'm going to talk about my organization. Church of God Christ, the sixth largest organization in the world. We number six in the world. They goes around, sell a chicken dinner, have wrap off TV. Just every time you look up, they got people standing out beside the door selling. I mean, just raking in all type of money. But they gotta go, and they've been in existence for over 100 years. And they have to go. Now, you number six organization in the world. And you got to go and rent a building when you have your national convention every year. You got to go rent a building. You don't even have a facility to put your people in. Because you don't have a building big enough.
Now,
what's up with that?
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at this, and I want to come back to that. So, you know, I had to Google this. Do Jehovah Witness practice tithing? And it says here, no, Jehovah Witness do not practice tithing. Our work is financed by anonymous voluntary donations, so they don't necessarily tithe. They, as you did mention, though, they do collect money from donations, but they don't tithe.
That is correct.
Yeah,
but they go around and they sell them little books, and them little books out there. That is correct.
Mm-hmm.
But listen at this: if you don't buy their books, mm-hmm. they still leave it on your doorstep.
Yeah, because they left plenty on my doorstep.
They leave that book on your doorstep.
I used to live right down the street from one of. I used to live down the street from one of the Jehovah's Witness temples or something. But you know, now what I don't like about Jehovah's Witness is they put the white people first. And, you know, they have black people and Mexicans and everybody else in their church. But then the Jehovah's Witness, they still believe that the white people are superior, from my understanding. Now, that's what I just don't get.
Well, I don't get that down here with the Jehovah's Witness down here, because it'd be more black and white out together. They come out together.
I'm saying, yeah, they do congregate together, but their belief is that the white people are superior. That's Jehovah's Witness. That was the origin, from my understanding, of Jehovah's Witness. My uncle and his wife are Jehovah's Witness.
But I don't believe they think the white man is superior. I don't believe that because ain't no stupid fool in their right mind, nigger wise, gonna be in no church with.
God, that's a fact though. That's Jehovah's Witness belief. That's their belief that it's something like the white people are first. And then, you know, black people are secondary to white people. That's Jehovah's Witness. That's like with Mormons. Like Mormons, believe that, you know, black people were, the sinners or the lesser people. That's Jehovah's Witness. Look it up. Jehovah's Witness, baby. That's why I don't understand how.
Well, I need to look, and I need to Google Church of Christ. Well, I'm gonna Google Church of Christ and see what they're about. Because
well,
I know they don't go around
about,
and take money from people.
Church of Christ now, because I used to do the tours for Bishop Charles E. Mason Church, and some of y'all might be surprised at what Bishop Charles E. Mason used to believe in and what he used to do back in the day when he started the Church of God in Christ. And I'm not talking about anything like sexual, anything like that. I'm talking about his spiritual and like religious type of involvement and things like that. But I mean, not saying it was anything bad because I think it was perfectly fine, but I know some people that don't believe in that, they would think that that was kind of odd, some of the things that he was into. But, now you said Church of God in Christ. What? Don't take up, no, Church of Christ doesn't take up money or Church of God in Christ? Because I know it's a difference.
Church of Christ. Church of God in Christ will take up a penny off a Church of God in Christ will take up a penny off a dead man's eye.
They sure will, because Lord have mercy, they passed that plate around 15 times within 1 hour. Ooh,
they
Lord.
Pass it around over and over and over and over again.
I mean, look, can I just give you one check? Do I have to keep going in my pocket for love offering, pastor's offering, pastor wife offering. This person's sick, that person's sick, then the visiting pastor, you got to give him something. And all of this stuff, my goodness, can we just give you one check? Why y'all do all of that, Delta? Why you got to take so many collections? I used to go to Pentecostal and church
because they greedy.
My mother. And you said, what now? And then you don't have a building. For what? Because I was trying to look up this Jehovah's Witness.
They don't have like a national building. Like, okay, like when we had a women's convention, and the women's convention always come the last week in May. And what happened is, you're going to have over, you probably have over 100,000 women come in or more. For a meeting for a whole week. And what they do is when they come in, they raise money. They want money. Every time you look up, they want the money. You know, and they don't have no national building. They got to go and rent a building to put them over them 100,000 people. If you number six in the world, why you can't have your own national headquarters instead of going renting from the white man every year?
They don't know how to be self-sufficient.
That's what I'm saying.
What do Jehovah's Witness believe about black people? The founders of Jehovah's Witness were racist, preached racist doctrine, and enforced racist policies. Modern-day Jehovah's Witness are not racist per se, but some of their published material continues to present questionable ideas on the origin of the black race. Jehovah's Witnesses once taught that black skin was a curse from God and that blacks were divinely ordained to be slaves and servants. Joseph Rutherford, the man who gave Jehovah's Witnesses their name, wrote, "It is generally believed that the curse which Noah pronounced upon Canaan was the origin of the black race. Certain it is that when Noah said, 'Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants, shall he be unto his brethren,' he pictured the future of the colored race. They have been and are a race of servants, but now in the dawn of the 20th century,
We are all coming to see this matter of service in its true light and to find that the only real joy in life is in serving others, not bossing them. There is no servant in the world as good as good colored servant. And the joy that he gets from rendering faithful service is one of the purest joys in the world.
Oh, Lord.
So, yeah, that was the origin of Jehovah Witnesses' beliefs in terms of black people. But I know that now they do accept all the little black people and Mexicans and everybody else. But I couldn't be dealing with that Jehovah Witness stuff.
Our closing comments here is the people in Chicago continue to rise up and fight for what is right. And what you believe in, not only in the city of Chicago, people all over the world need to be rising up for police brutality and stuff that they know is wrong and going on in their neighborhood. Make a stand and say, I'm not going to take it anymore.
Not going to take it anymore.
And that's what they need to do. Yeah, so we're not going to take it anymore, and we need to rise up.
I agree. Well, let me just read this little quick piece right here, too. On white supremacy, Charles Taze Russell, the founder of what would become Jehovah Witness, taught that the white race was superior to the black race. In fact, he used the Watchtower magazine, a little magazine they always trying to force on you on Saturdays. He used the Watchtower magazine to spread his racist views. While it is true that the white race exhibits some qualities of superiority over any other, we are to remember that there are wide differences in the Caucasian, Semitic, and Aryan family, and also we should remember that some of the qualities which have given this branch of the human family its preeminence in the world are not such as can be pointed to as in all respects admirable. The secret of the greater intelligence and aptitude of the Caucasian undoubtedly in great measure is to be attributed to the, I can't see what this is, something of blood among its various branches, and this was evidently forced in large measure by circumstances under divine control. See? Yep, they practice white supremacy. Jehovah's Witness. That's why I don't understand why black people. How could you be Jehovah's Witness? I don't get it.
Well, you got a lot of black folks done Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah, I have family Jehovah's Witness. Oh, yeah. They certainly do. Well, anyway, I agree with you, Delta. I hope that Chicago continues to stand up and rise up. Don't give up the fight. Stand up, get up, stand up for your rights. 16 shots.
Yeah, they don't need to give up the fight.
Mm-mm, they don't. They don't. They don't
come too close now.
Yes. We're at the shift now. We are at the shift. Any closing comments, Uncle Hot? All right. Well, I guess not. Maybe we lost her. And so thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you, Delta, for your hot topic. Thank you, Icy Hot.
Okay.
Thank you, Scotty. And peace and good night. Thank you, callers and listeners. And may the force be with you all. Yeah.